Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Benchtown TV and our coverage of Jujutsu Kaisen.
Secretly round two.
Yeah, secretly round two after we just banged out a quick 20 minutes of a chat. So we're going to act like we've when I talk about things that I brought up in the manga, and Dave's going to be like, oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Recreate those emotions for you guys.
Obviously, we are talking about episodes 3 and 4 of season 2, Hidden Inventory parts 3 and 4. The dozens of you that have been following along with our coverage noticed we obviously didn't do an episode last week for episode 3. Some of us were in Mexico. Some of us are a little sick. It was perfect when we recorded the first time.
I'll wind it up to both of those.
Yeah, Dave started coughing right when I said that. Yeah, there it is. So yeah, we decided basically we'll combine these two episodes. It's a perfect kind of two episode act, I guess you could say, in terms of Toji finally kind of coming out. No longer being a one-eyed snake in the bushes.
In the weeds, I'm sorry.
So before we get to all the fun stuff, though, classic Bingetown housekeeping. We just released our 400th episode of Bingetown TV, which I believe was covering The Witcher, Season 3, Episode 6. So if you're listening on our Jujutsu Kaisen-specific feed, I implore you to go to our Bingetown TV, Bingetown-specific feed. It just has every episode that we drop. So we're covering The Witcher. It has its own feed, but The Witcher episodes also drop on Bingetown TV. We covered Silo. It had its own feed. All those episodes also dropped on Bingetown TV. So you'll get everything that we're covering on that main feed. We're doing a ton of shows. It's been 3 years. I mean, we got One Piece coming up at the end of the month, or I'm sorry, at the end of August. We got Wheel of Time coming up in September. I mean, the good times will keep on rolling. So if you like us, stick with us. That's the best way to do so. All right. Jujutsu Kaisen, episodes 3 and 4. We'll start off with episode 3. We're not even going to get into these general thoughts of the episode. We're going to dive right in. Let's just, whatever we want to talk about that is Okinawa before the fight, we can just talk about all of that right now. Get that out of the way.
This is like when they're going through the flashes of exploring the city.
Yeah, playing on the beach and things like that.
It was like seeing Gojo's soft side a little bit here, the way he...
The sea cucumber, I fucking love the sea cucumber part. It was literally, when I reread the manga after we watched the episode, I was shocked of how like one for one that joke and everything was. I thought it was so funny.
I have to say, since the first episode with the intro to the first... To the season, everything else has been like pretty much identical. Pretty much word for word. I mean, they might... have elongated that little montage like at the aquarium and the Okinawa like a little bit, but overall it's been cookie cutter, which, by the way, that was my favorite. I like the aquarium shot. I thought it was really well done.
It's interesting in the manga because some of the lines are like really blocky and clearly like drawn like almost like sketch lines, like they're like double, tripled, quadrupled up. But the aquarium scene was like amazing line work, like so much detail, like clearly took.
He draws like that. I feel like when they're moving and fighting, he uses that sketch format or method. And then, you know, his backgrounds and stuff are really also he's also capable of just being very picturesque. And yeah. I think they did a good job in the anime. That's all.
Yeah. I think it's contrast a lot.
I think it's so funny that like we leave episode 2 with, you know, like we get this potential small plot of, oh, you know, like the woman got kidnapped. Like maybe next episode we'll get into it. And it's just 5 minutes of him just like, it's just the cutscene of him just like walking in, kicking ass, taking the girl. And like everyone's all together. Like I was expecting at least some kind of fight, but not at all, because it was just probably so easy for them to just walk in and take her back.
They got a little vacation out of it. And so did, I know you didn't notice the first time, but Kento, Nanami, we get our boy Overtime, yellow hair, glasses, tie with the little mallet, cleaver that's wrapped up in white. For anyone that maybe not who doesn't remember him from season one, shout out to Super Mecha Frieza. Anybody out there that loves is in the anime reaction community, you know who I'm talking about. And yeah,
No, I was gonna say her husbando.
Oh, true. Yeah, yeah. She did a good cosplay of him, which is funny.
Yeah,
his power is just basically like he finds the center of math. Yeah,
it's three. It's like 7/3 or 3/7.
It's something center. Weird. Yeah, yeah,
but like I don't remember exactly the distance.
It can be of like any like it's almost of like any size though. He can do like singularly just like one arm or a person's whole body. It's interesting.
He's pretty cool.
I think all the powers in Jujutsu Kaisen are very unique. Like they're not powers that I've seen in other animes or mangas before, which is great.
A ton more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you don't have like your typical just like electricity or like
fire. Like it's just,
Anyway, sorry, right. Kyle.
No, you're good, brother. So now we're going to get meat and potatoes, baby. We get back to Jujutsu High. Exactly what Toji predicted happens. Gojo lets down the limitless barrier and immediately gets skewered by Toji, who was waiting in the wings. And then we're kind of off to the races at this point. I think we just chat about the fight itself up until we kind of get the conclusion of what happens in part one of the fight. So we don't really want to get into the ghetto stuff yet. So we'll just talk everything Toji, Gojo at this point.
Yeah, I'll say it again, but I just think of like, you know, the threat immediately because Ghetto and Gojo both are shocked here. Like we have not seen those kinds of expressions on their faces, even in present day. And in these flashbacks, both of them have been nothing but arrogant on both sides. And it was cool seeing here that like, even like 5 minutes prior, like they're both smiling. They're both so nonchalant about this whole mission. They're like, don't worry. Like we're the strongest, like nothing's bad is possibly going to happen. And then of course, as soon as the barrier goes down, Gojo gets skewered and you know, of course he's not dead, but one, it's Gojo, and two, we already have the future knowledge that he lives through this entire thing. But it's just still like it's a sense of urgency for both of them. This is the threat level that they have to deal with right in this moment. One, he's capable of hurting Gojo, and two, it was in a moment's notice. So threat level through the roof. And Toji, what an intro for this guy. I mean, to just skewer Gojo like that, you already have my respect.
Clearly kind of teasing like him. He's like, obviously we don't know anything about him really in episodes one and two, but they're kind of putting respect on him. He's putting a lot of respect on Gojo. And then just episode three, they just crack that clam wide open. It's like, holy shit, this guy is fucking for real.
He is way for real. He is so badass. He's so strong. Just like everything about him. He's so imposing. His design is sweet. He's huge. He's super fast. And he gives Gojo a run for his money. I mean, he basically, I would count that as a win. Like he beat Gojo. You know what I mean? He also allowed Gojo to unlock a whole new side of his power, which is sweet that you kind of see how that happens in this flashback. And it kind of takes, you know, Gojo even leaps and bounds higher than he was before and probably even more solidifies himself as the strongest. And what you see in the next episode, but it's just an overall great encounter. The fly heads, the way he used those was awesome. He used something so simple and he made it so impactful.
Yeah,
in this fight.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, we noticed that he uses multiple weapons. He has that like worm like curse spirit that kind of wraps around him and stuff. I fucking love that. The idea of that is just so sick that he just carries a bunch of weapons inside of it. Mm-hmm. So he has that, the second one that he uses that has like the little like fur on the hilt or whatever that dangles down when he like so Ghetto like puts him in that worm. He just obviously cuts it right open and comes out like covered in the blood with his sword over his shoulder. Iconic shot. I love that shot. But for anybody looking to get a hold of your very own version of that, you get it for the cool, easy price of 500 million yen in universe. So if you want to just come up with 3.5 million US dollars, Toji might give it to you. But the real shining star of his arsenal is the weapon that he uses after the aforementioned flyhead trap, I guess, quote unquote, is that the inverted spear of heaven, which is just an insane name for a weapon. It's the most broken fucking ability on a cursed weapon you could ever have. It literally just negates all cursed techniques. And it's still, even though I knew it was going to happen, it's so like viscerally, it's just like the back, like goes through Gojo's throat and it's like, oh my fucking God. Yeah.
And then he just goes on to stab him repeatedly, like down his leg. That's when I said, you know, this is like a dark manga and I know it has some comedic undertones and it's funny and lighthearted, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty, man, it's bloody. And that's what I like about it.
Dude, that weapon was so fucking cool. I want a replica one so badly. I just think it was so badass. Yeah, it's like a little kid. Yeah, it does look like a can opener a little bit. I think it's
a broken sword
or like a bobby pin.
Yeah, it's just so fucking cool. It's so unique. And you guys are absolutely right.
Taken down by a bobby pin,
dude. Yeah, he's literally just like stat. It was like the fucking Alice in Borderland ending of just like fucking shanking her fucking knees over and over again.
Oh,
and
so, what did he get stabbed in the head with?
Like, just like a fucking steak knife.
Yeah, he just pulled that out, or he had it in his other hand or something.
Yeah, okay. That's what it seemed like. I don't mind a little two-handed dagger action, a little Thorfinn.
Admits that basically the only way to kill him is like you just have to cut his head off. It's just crazy. Yeah.
I mean, dude, he just literally leaves him lying in a pool of his own blood. And it was just like, oh my God, this guy is fucking insane. I mean, Gojo right before that uses we see the blue technique, which looked fantastic in the animation. He just levels the whole area.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, it looks so good. At that point, if I was Gojo, I'd be laying there like dying and be like, well, at least I don't have to have the fucking principal on my back about I just cost the school you know, $25 million or whatever. I just blew up like four fucking buildings. All right. So any final parts about that fight before we move on to just another, I mean, shocking moment of the episode?
No.
All right, cool, cool, mega cool. So we move now into the kind of star. Oh my God, I'm going to forget the name. The star
vessel group
tombs or whatever the tombs are where Tengen is. It's literally, there's like a whole city underground, basically, is what it looks like. But we get Geto and Riko are having a conversation about kind of what's next for her. And like Aoki had mentioned about the idea of, you know, she wants to enjoy time. Like, what is she going to do? And then obviously Geto and Toji get into it a little bit. So we can talk about either of the things I'm sure we'll probably talk about. We want to talk about the Riko aspect first, but obviously then we want to talk about the fight itself.
I just thought it was, I know what's going to happen. Obviously, I think everybody that's listening knows that by now, but I'm really excited to see how it unfolds. Geto is so kind-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like what happens. Yeah, I'm excited to just to see how it plays out in anime format.
Yeah, I mean, that's been like a common theme or thing that we've been talking about these episodes, is that Geto has just portrayed himself like to be just such a nice person. Gojo's kind of shown signs of being a dick, and then eventually we'll get to the point where they kind of cross those paths where Geto, you know, becomes evil and Gojo stays the savior of the school, whatever. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just, he really is genuinely happy. Like, Riko admits that she does not want to, she no longer wants to be the Star Plasma Vessel. And Riko, with a genuine smile on his face, is like, let's go home. And I don't know what I was thinking was going to happen, because I guess I completely forgot that Gojo just got worked, that Riko just gets fucking bullets right to the fucking dome. I was shocked. I really did not expect that to happen. I don't know why. I couldn't see it happen. And then I'm having flashes of the kid from, was it last season or season one? The fucking,
oh my God. Yeah.
I'm getting flashes of that. And I'm just like, holy shit, this show is so, like you said, it's so fucking dark. It is really dark. And I'm sitting here still thinking like, maybe there's a way she gets revived, but like, there's just no, that just doesn't do anything for the show. I think she's dead. And I don't know what they're, and then that begs the questions of like, what is now Tengen going to do with the, he has to wait for a new Star Plasma Vessel. Is he going to adapt to the point of being beyond a human within that time frame? I don't know. I just really thought things were going to go smoothly. I guess I really thought they were going to get her there and this was going to go off without a hitch. And I was shocked. I really was.
they did it so well. The timing of it is so, like, the way, I mean, it's literally one for one from the manga, basically, of like the isolation of her on the screen. And then it's just like, boom, the bullet comes. And honestly, at this point, I knew she was going to die, obviously. I like forgot about guns in the world.
Yeah.
That's... So like the gunshot, I was like, it surprised me for a second. I was like, oh my God, you're right. Cause I don't know where he was using all the swords and stuff. And I was like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. Like he'll probably kill her. I forget how it happens, but I'm sure he just like stabs her or something shot. And then he just shoots her. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot. It's like modern day. Like they do have guns.
The guns went off. And I was like, is that like what? Like I really was trying to like imagine the kind of weapon that was doing. And then he's just like holding it, just like a regular like pistol. And
I'm just
like,
has okay. A pistol.
It's like, okay.
Well, that's why I like this like manga so much. We talked about it when we mentioned he was in the gambling den and it was like the boat races. I mean, it's cool because in every anime you watch, especially the ones we like, it's like pirates, ninjas, whatever. This one takes place in Tokyo in 2020, whatever. And there's guns, especially for somebody like him. He's the one to use one. He has no cursed powers. You know,
and it's cool. I mean, it's
it makes the death it's more brutal, honestly, and makes him more brutal.
Yeah, it brings her death down like a measly, just like so measly. Like just
it's not as personal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, it keeps him invisible. I mean, the gun, obviously, like Maki, we know uses
you're right.
Like, all of the cursed energy for the guns, but like he does, it's literally just a gun. Like he just
and he doesn't need to, like, he knew that she's nothing either. Like, it's not like he needed to bring a special gun. You're absolutely right. Like, that's so cool to think about.
Yeah. Geto is just obviously like he can only sense the curse energy. He's not going to like assume that he's walking down the hallway with a gun right now. Yeah. So
he is so smart, man.
He's a beast. He's a sorcerer killer, man. He knows exactly how they think.
To reiterate it again from the first recording that we did, it's just I'm so shocked that he's dead. Like I really expected him to be a character that we would meet in the present day. Like God, it's been so long since I keep forgetting our main character's name because it's been so long.
Yuji.
Right, Fuji or Yuji?
Yeah. Yuji with a Y. Yuji, Itadori Yuji. Yeah.
Itadori. Yeah.
It's. I really expected him to meet Toji at some point, but I just don't know. I don't know.
It's fucking. It's pretty crazy. So, I mean, and this was like the end of the third episode, which was wild. I mean, she gets popped, and then Geto kind of like does like the die thing and whips out the curse spirits, and it ends. But thankfully, obviously, we're covering both episodes. Episode 4 is basically just opens up, obviously, with Geto versus Toji. I just love the opening sequence is like Toji fires the bullets and Geto like kind of like accordions like some squids and they just catch all the bullets. I thought that was sick. And then he just whips out that fucking white dragon and then they just get after him.
The white dragon is so cool. I think Geto's power has definitely been growing on me. The way he uses it is just so interesting. Like you're right. Like it was like an accordion, how he just opened it up and all the bullets were caught.
That was my favorite part of the fight.
Yeah,
it was sick. They did it like it looked kind of odd when he's like opening all the portals when they're really getting into it and he's just shooting basically all the squids at him and it looked like energy blasts. I don't think there was another way they could have did it. It just kind of looked funny that it looked like he was just like shooting like a ray gun at him, but it obviously was just squids.
Yeah.
Little Gallimar.
Little Gallimar.
The Gallimar gun. Little Gallic gun action. We learn a lot about maybe not a lot, but we learn a lot about we learn about Toji in this fight. We just talked about how kind of his lack of curse energy makes him the invisible man. He can swallow that fucking curse spirit, which is funny. He just kind of coughs it up. It's that little like bald head that he
and
just
he actually
eats.
Hides it in his stomach, which is crazy.
It's his invisible outer shell is hidden by his internal invisible organs.
He's committed to the bit fully 100%. He noted Geto is like shocked and he's like, we left no residuals because we have learned, I believe, in season one we talked about it. The show hasn't, I don't remember if they brought it up so far in season two, but the residuals of cursed energy. And he's like, basically like you guys are still human beings, like you have sense, you leave footprints, like it changed the environment around you. Like it's easy enough to just track you like that.
And his are heightened.
He has heightened senses. So it's just like, he's just built for this work so perfectly. And it's just so great.
Yeah. I mean, usually these Uvo like characters from the Phantom Troop are just like, they're all just go at it with their muscles, think later. But this guy clearly is just very conniving and definitely made a huge first impression on me. Like I love this guy for sure.
he's used his disadvantages to his advantage. Mm-hmm. And that's how he's trained his whole life to be able to stand toe to toe with the best.
Lemillion.
Yeah, literally.
Kind of. Oh,
shout out him. That brings a tear to my eye thinking about that.
Yeah.
But
power of friendship, bro.
Nah, we ain't got that yet here. So there's two kind of interesting parts of this fight. Is going to be the very quick, like, simple domain that one of Geto's cursed spirits can use. I thought that was cool that definitely. His cursed spirits can use domain expansions in that way, like that.
Is that what that was? That.
We already knew that's possible, though, Dave.
Is that what that was when, like, the time froze for a second?
Yeah. And, like, the rule of it was, like, you can't do violence unless you answer her question.
Okay. Yeah, he solved that so quickly that I didn't even have a time. I thought it was just like they were moving so fast that like.
No.
Yeah. Okay. That makes so much more sense.
Whips out the inverted spear of heaven, the most broken item in the world, and just breaks the domain with it.
I want it so bad. I want it hanging above my bed this instant. It's so cool.
It is cool.
That was fucking sick.
That demon that Itadori and Fushiguro fight last season, that like when Sukuna comes out, he had a domain and that's why it was all distorted. Mm-hmm. So like curses can do that if they're strong enough.
I guess it's just an interesting reminder that like Geto can do it by extension through that.
You knew that
was an interesting concept to us.
Like I knew too, like when he summons them too, like you could tell that these two are a little bit different than the ones that he's like just normally opens up. Like it was the dragon and the woman that come out of it, and they both were very unique looking, and he had that serious face, so you know they were gonna be fucking strong.
Yeah, those are his boys. That's like his Pikachu and Charizard right there.
Yeah. What a great comparison.
Toji fucks up that dragon and Geto's like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like,
and I like the aspect that it, like he mentions that it does actually have like, you know, dragon scales, because you know, I guess in my head when I think of like these curses, I just assume them to all be kind of, I guess, made of the same material in a sense, you know, like, and I don't really think of a dragon, a cursed dragon having actual like dragon scales. So it was just a nice aspect that they added to build on the world.
Yeah. So the domain expansion gives a little bit of an opening, and Geto tries to use his cursed manipulation to take the little, I guess, fucking backpack cursed spirit that Toji uses. Very interesting strategy. Toji was not ready for that at all. It wasn't clear to me, at least in the anime, of why it doesn't work. But when I read the manga, it explained it, and I was like, okay, I'm just curious. I was wondering why.
I think he broke the technique with his sword. That's okay, broken.
When I read the manga, it says that it was repelled because Toji has established a master servant relationship with the spirit.
I guess that's kind of how I took it.
That's just, yeah. I mean, it was like,
I like yours, Alki, that he was like so fast with the inverted spear tip that it canceled out the cursed power that he was trying to use on it. But I took it when I first watched it is like what Kyle was saying, like kind of like, I hate to keep bringing up Hunter x Hunter, but like, you know, a manipulator in Hunter x Hunter, like if you have like someone you're manipulating, another manipulator can't, you know, take that body from you because it's already under your control. And I figured because Toji already kind of had it under his control that he couldn't just steal it. Like it wasn't a free roaming Pokemon for him to just be like, oh, I gotta catch it. This is like a trainer mod, you know?
Okay, yeah, that's a fantastic comparison.
I was like, yo, this is going down the Pokemon route. Like, let's just go there.
That was a good journey there. Okay, so.
Oh, I see what you saw, Kyle. It's like in the fine print at the end of the chapter.
It might have been like a translator's note simply on the like site version that we're reading. That could have been what it was.
It's hard to find great translations sometimes. I had to go to like a few sites. I ended up choosing TCB scans as like a decent reference, because if I want to get official translations, you basically have to pay for it, and I'm not gonna do that.
I mean, you don't have a Viz Media account.
You can unlock all the chapters,
having that. Month.
Oh, fuck that!
You're a fucking pirate, bro. You're a fucking pirate. You can't just admit that on the internet for free, bro.
That's your pirate laugh. It should have been Zaya.
So the fight ends. Basically, Geto is just so shocked it doesn't work. Toji pieces him up with two quick kind of normal slashes, not enough to kill him because, again, his fight IQ is off the charts.
That's the Divis signature move from my signature move in D&D is the X slash.
That's hilarious. It basically gives him a Luffy scar. Yeah. And says, and the reasoning behind it is perfect, though, because he says, if you were a Shikigami user, I would have killed you. But since you're a curse manipulator, like, I don't know what's going to happen when you die, and I don't really want the trouble. And it's like, yeah, fuck, that makes a ton of sense.
I want to take a second to appreciate Geto's power now while he's still like good. He's got a sick power, and how he uses it, how he's so smart and he's able to interpolate it in different ways. He's just sick. And it's crazy because Toji killed Gojo. He didn't kill Geto. It's a funny little detail, you know, because Gojo's been understood as the strongest. Even stronger than Geto, probably at this point, even now. And he didn't kill him.
Geto's powers.
He kind of had to kill Gojo, and it wasn't worth it. It almost wasn't worth it to kill Geto. So that might be more of an insult.
No, it makes sense. Like, logistically, logically makes sense to kill Gojo and not Geto. I thought it was a funny little detail.
I think you're absolutely right. Like, Geto's power, I mean, on paper, it seems like it's very, you know,
regular,
but like when you think about it in the world that they're in, it's very unique, and the way he does use it is very unique as well, and how he's so quick to think of like how to use each power is he's so smart, and I do really appreciate him, and I'm not excited to see him go to the dark side because I do love this little trio that we've got going on here, but he's been
now twice now that in this flashback people have pointed out, oh, this is not Shikigami's. This is curse manipulation. It's a big difference, and it's being recognized.
And I think,
encounters.
This just proves how smart Toji is. I mean, Kyle, you said it, like, he's absolutely right. The way we've seen, even on us, like, we've seen Geto, how he has to turn him into those like orbs and then swallows them. Like, legitimately, if he does kill him, like, do those orbs that just pop out of his body, like, if you were to kill him? So I think Toji, he's so smart, man. I just have to appreciate him.
He's a beast.
I want him to come back, but this is not.
He places the absolute perfect cherry on top of this entire encounter when he basically tells, I mean, he says in this moment to Geto, like, you know, you should thank your parents, essentially, like your genes blessed you by becoming a curse manipulator instead of a Shikigami user. That's literally the only reason why you're still alive right now. And then he he throws complete shade at them, him and Gojo, where he's like, you know, you guys with all of your fucking amazing jujitsu, like, got taken down by a monkey like me who has absolutely no curse energy. So, like, don't forget that if you want to live a long life.
This, I feel like, has got to be, this is going to resonate more with Geto than I think what we see, like what we saw on screen, just because that sounded legitimately like Geto from the present time talking, like the way he was like saying, like the monkey comment, like that's, I feel like he kind of says that about people in the present when he's, you know, meeting those rich guys, he's talking about them in such a belittling way. So, and especially, I mean, it's a traumatizing event. He just watched Rico eat two bullets in front of his face. Like, he just got his ass kicked by this guy with no curse energy. And to me, this might be the smallest of stepping stones for Geto to start making his way down this wrong path.
Probably.
Yeah, but it did sound like it was legitimately like Geto talking to himself, you know, like that, like the way he was speaking just felt very villain, like his villain-esque part.
No, I like that. He's definitely filling his head with that idea.
Great points, Dave. Toji may be one of the worst fathers in all of anime.
Oh my god, this is such a classic. No,
there's some
anime
fucking
gag.
Terrible fathers in anime. Some,
I mean, dude, like, talking about Hunter Hunter, fucking.
He was talking shit to this dude he just beat, and he used the word blessings, Megumi, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's what I named my son. It was my name, blessings, Megumi."
Yeah,
Jing has still got to be worse. Jing
he's
still,
probably the worst.
At least, at least Toji in his final moments, like, kind of thought of Megumi and was like, I gotta make sure this kid's all right. Jing would never.
That's such a classic anime gag that I love, that he's like very serious talking and then like you hear that like little sound and his face just drops and it's super cartoonish and the background kind of melts away. I love that. It's drawn so well in the manga too. Funny, just little interesting part is that this chapter in the manga, it ends, the last panel is actually Gojo's hand twitching. So you get like that.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. I have that written down, actually.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, maybe So obviously
we know.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to the resurrection of one Satoru Gojo, we'll just quickly kind of cycle through the aftermath of this. Fushiguro uses his cursed spirit to transport Riko's body. So that thing is just multi-fucking purpose. I mean, it just does whatever, you know, it's very useful to him, essentially. We learned a little bit about the Star Religious Group. Just an interesting thing that I wrote down is that it started in the Nara era, is what he says, which when I looked it up online was 710 to 794 AD. So quite a long time ago. Tengen has been kind of introducing, or he was preaching Buddhism and the moral foundation of Jujutsu. It's just like a really cool little backstory of Tengen that, you know, well, obviously his character will get expanded on more at some point in the show. I don't know how much it's really important to talk about the time vessel thing, whatever. It's just, I like when the kind of agent handler guy says, like, you know, if Tengen goes crazy and kills all humans, like, you guys will die too. And the guy's like, ah, well, then we'll die with our god or whatever. And then Fushiguro Toji does like, yeah, the little, like crazy thing. It literally, and when I read the manga, I was so shocked. It's dead. It's one for one out of the panel. He literally does that exact face and the exact thing with the finger. I was like, you know, bravo, hat off.
Yeah, and then, but he's a hypocrite too, because he did their bidding.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, yeah, I guess he doesn't care if the world's going to end as long as he gets fucking paid. That's really all that matters to him.
All right.
Was this guy that's with him? He looks familiar. Maybe I'm like confusing him with another. Like, have we seen him, that guy with the light mustache smoking in the room in JJK? Okay. Maybe I'm
not like beyond this arc, to my knowledge.
I just wasn't sure if like that was a callback or if I was supposed to like recognize this guy that he like used to work with, you know, Toji, Megumi's father, but guess not.
I don't believe so.
Is his role? What is he, just a consultant type guy sorcerer world?
Just seemed like a guy who knows guys and knows people, gets things done, essentially.
The owner of the Continental Hotel from
literally from John Wick.
John Wick.
Yeah, basically. RIP to that guy in real life. So we get Toji victorious after he gets, I guess he's rejected from a dinner date that he was totally not going to pay the bill, which I thought was a funny little joke. Basically runs into just an absolute drunk Gojo who is somehow still alive, just blabbering, yapping. And then, you know, the gloves come off again. The fight's not over. And we're right back at it in the pocket, just trading blows. Well, maybe not trading blows, but throwing blows.
He mastered reverse curse technique, which allowed him to unlock Red finally.
Boom. Yeah,
it was just so fucking, of course a character like Toji is gonna push one of our main characters Gojo to the just upper limits of just what he's capable of doing. And it was so cool just finally watching him master Red, because we saw him, you know, two episodes ago fail at doing it, and this time he actually does it. And I think, of course, I think I'm sure he's gonna keep training, but I think that he's at the point where he's never gonna fail using Red anymore. And then does he also just like create hollow purple like in this instant as well? Like, was this something that
he mentions it? So they go, I like that they honestly gave us this recap of them talking about his powers when Toji's like, all right, we're going to fucking fight again. And he's like trying to like go down the list, and he's like, okay, he's got the power to stop, which is just like the neutral ability, the limitless. We saw that with the sword, with the knives that get stopped in episode one. He has the power to attract, which is applied limitless. So that's something he actually has to do with the technique. And then the power to repel is the reverse technique, so that's Red.
Yeah, I like that simpler breakdown of everything. And then when they get into the whole infinity aspect and like, yeah, just he can't be touched. Well, it's just way more simpler.
Yeah, it's different applications of infinity. But what they're going back and forth and they're fighting, and Gojo just has a great kind of in his head now talking about it. And this is where, to answer your question, Dave, where he's like, you know, the positives of having such like a well-known technique that gets passed down through your family is that there's a how-to guide, but the negatives is that everyone in the fucking world knows about it, but like only few people within the clan know about this, and it's the hollow purple, which is taking the amplified and the reversal, smashing them together to create a push, you know, to create mass and then push it away, essentially, is what he says.
Like a giant black hole is how I took it.
He knew that that technique was possible. He just could never get the reverse part of it down, so he couldn't ever actually do it.
Right.
But now that he got the reverse part of it down, the real benefit almost of the curse technique is being able to do this hollow purple, which is what he uses at fucking the end of season one, when he just completely fucks up campus. And when Yuji is fighting Nanamine or whatever the plant.
Nanamine. The plant guy.
Yeah. When he fought, that was fucking sick when he used it for the first time. But
this was just such a phenomenal fucking fight. And again, I was shocked that Toji died here. I just really thought he was going to survive.
Red. He eats the red one. He's like, all right, no broken bones. He gets a little stretch in and he fucking puts the inverted Spear of Heaven on the fucking chain. And I was like, let's go.
It was so hype. It was so cool. It was such a great fight.
Did you see the footnote about that? The cursed tool, Kyle?
Yeah, I don't remember what chapter. It was, though.
It can go on forever as long as the end of it, which is like this like little, looked like just like a pouch at the end of the chain. As long as that's never exposed, you can have unlimited chain.
Oh my god, that's
insane. That's crazy. Yeah. He was such a cool villain, man. I'm pissed that he's fucking gone.
Yeah, Gojo's just going fucking Ultra Instinct, just kind of orgasming in his own mind. And he has a classic line. People had an issue with this part of the anime episode. So he drops the line, through heaven and earth, I am the honored one. It's like a very famous line from like ancient Buddhist text. And people just like, the manga looked way better or whatever. And it's like, okay, I get it. But
I thought the line was fucking hard as shit. I thought it was great. I just love when Gojo's talking about himself as the strongest and the chosen one. It's just like,
it's literally a line from like one of like the most seminal like Buddhist texts when he like reaches enlightenment, and that's what he says.
I think it fits so well here. Fuck people.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The fact that, like you were saying, he was just on the brink of death and he's like orgasming because he's just like, he's reached the peak of who we can be and he's just loving it.
Yeah. But sorry, Rico, like I'm just killing it right now. So I'm not even upset about you.
Yeah. There were a couple great shots of Toji this episode. The one you said with like the iconic of him slashing the worm and coming out of it. And then I just like really liked the one of just like all the shots, like it's him and then all the shots of the people that he just kicked the shit out of, like Gojo. Like this was a few scenes ago, but it's like Gojo laying on the ground, Geto laying on the ground, like just in him just reigning supreme over him. I'm pissed. I need more Toji in my life.
And he pulls a fucking Edward Newgate on us and dies on his feet.
Yeah,
fucking so badass.
That was so badass. I forgot
literally everything
about
him. Everything about him that could have been cool was cool. Like it was just dialed to 100.
Even
like,
I was
literally
sad.
Is there. He's there in the pocket, and he's like feeling a little uneasy, but he's like, nah. Like I fucking gotta fucking fight the six eyes with the limitless like reverse technique. Like I literally have to fight this. Like I have to do it.
Yeah.
And then he obviously gets fucked up, but he's
something's
like,
something's off, but
yeah, his pride got to him, but he was like, I'm literally right here. Like I have to do this. Like
he's reaching for the hole in his stomach. And I'm just like, fuck, he's so dead.
All I'll say, Dave, is he leaves a lasting impact.
Clearly for Gojo too. I mean, the fact Gojo, He offers him, he's like, you don't have to, but I just want you to know I have a son who's going to get adopted by the Zanin clan. Do with what you want with that information. We obviously know Gojo's going to fucking go right there, adopt that kid and be like, yo, out of respect of this guy, let me raise this guy.
Well, now too, I mean, Megumi, I feel like when we get back to the present time, everyone now will have look at him almost with different eyes as well. I feel like you have a different perspective on his character.
Or they might already, the audience will, but people in the JJK world may already know his
For sure. Yeah. I just random idea. We should get a group as many people as we can, and we should all go as Toji for Halloween. Just skin tight black shirts with big white like balloon pants and just like, you know, those little black karate slippers. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. The plan's in motion. All right. We're running out of a little time here, so we're gonna call it. That is episodes 3 and 4. I'm assuming we'll be back for just episode 5. Individuals from here on. Individual. From here on out. Obviously, we are Bingetown TV. We really appreciate everyone that sticks around for these full episodes and listens to us blabber at the end. Just basically basic reiteration of what happened at the start. If you like us, follow us, subscribe at Bingetown TV. Bingetown TV main feed is where you're going to get the most Bingetown TV content possible. And yeah, the Discord, if you want to chat about JJK or other animes, mangas, or other TV shows, join that and we can just chat like that off of. You don't need to even just listen to us. You can join the conversation. And hey, isn't that fun? And
goodbye,
that's it.
Everybody.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.